Hi, this is Northeastern Exposure. I'm Klondike Cat.
And I'm Shotgun Molly.
We sound like we're on the radio.
Yeah. Is this our customer service voice?
It is our customer service. Actually I never use customer. I don't know what voice this is. This is like, you know, don't give me your shit right now because I'll fucking spit in your coffee.
Yeah. Big smile.
Big smile.
Actually, I do have a customer service voice.
Yeah, I don't know what my customer service voice is.
I don't think you have one. Your attitude
is... I do have one.
Really?
Yeah.
Because your customer service voice, I mean, your whole idea of customer
service... Well, I don't know if I can do it when I'm not in a customer service...
Really?
...environment, yeah. I'm pretty comfortable right here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the lowest, like, my usual, like, normal tone of voice is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know... You're not going to judge me. I can say whatever I want. No one's going to call in and be like, blah, blah, blah.
Well, we don't even have a phone. You can't call because we don't have a phone.
If they really wanted to.
Well, if you, yeah.
Better not. but
it's like,
it's still up. But
I know it's still up. Anyways, yeah, no, I notice I do my customer service voice when I'm ordering food from people.
Yeah, I do that too.
Like, so how is this? Do you know? Thank you. This is just wonderful, regardless of whether I think it's
this
wonderful.
This is just wonderful. Oh, my God.
Like the fish that I got, and the breading wasn't cooked all the way.
Yeah.
And
did you realize that until we got home?
No, I realized that there.
You did.
And yeah. I was just like, eh, because I didn't really want to send it back. I didn't want to be one of those people. But then I realized
that. Always so weird doing
somehow
that.
Somehow, I still managed to be put in a customer service position.
Well, I think it's kind of, it's like, for me, it's definitely unconscious.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
I don't do it. I actually also do it when there's an attractive guy around, which is bad, because that's like an idiot.
Really?
Yeah.
I have
not all the time.
Never really noticed that.
Oh, because I just look at them. I don't talk to them.
Right. When I want to be around you.
You're just
I want to see
around.
This. This is something I need to witness. And just laugh or just giggle.
That'd be mean. I'm never gonna do that with you. I'm never gonna double date with you.
Why ever. Would we double date?
I'm just saying. When would I interact with a cute guy with you around? Not often.
Maybe if we were at a party, like an awkward party, like what we were just talking about. Okay, so you had a story about inflammatory remarks.
Oh, yeah, about inflammatory remarks. And, okay, so what I was going to say is there's like a, when someone says something that's kind of like ridiculous or inflammatory in our case, things can go a multitude of ways. And
right.
Like I was saying, you know, either someone says something inflammatory and everyone goes quiet and then everyone goes back to what they're doing, the kind you see in the movies. And then there's the kind where someone says something inflammatory and no one reacts except you. And that's kind of weird. Then there's a third kind, which is my preferred kind, where someone says something inflammatory, everyone pauses, and everyone responds negatively to that person. Story. One of our friends who came up and visited us recently.
Oh, right.
Who was president of the student council, blah, blah, blah. Everyone loves her, mostly. Some people hate her, but I love her.
She's amazing.
I think everyone loves her, really. Whatever. Anyway, so she was hanging out with a bunch of our friends back in Fairbanks. And there was this one kid that's with them who was kind of weird. He's kind of an inflammatory person in himself.
Weird is probably not the best word.
Okay, I don't mean not weird, but maybe like off color, kind of awkward, but not in a quiet way. In a quiet kind of like, I'm going to express my just, I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah, okay, well, he's kind of, it's almost like programming people who are, it's almost autistic in the sense that you know, sometimes
like nerdy, but angry. He's angry. Kind of an angry person.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to take it out on people because, you know, I'm smart, parentheses, and, you know, I'm going to, I don't know, maybe he has trouble expressing himself in a way that is not irritating, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said something to the effect of, you know, oh, we're not on FCC radio. I can actually say what happened. It's like, you know, you're such a bitch. You know, everyone hated you when you were class president and everyone just didn't want to vote against you because, you know, no one really gave a fuck about student government. And he like kind of like went on a little bit. And there was a variety of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Our group, people that are not really in the tight group area of that, but it was a good, it was a peppering,
that we knew
of,
that
a peppering
we
of people. And like I said, things could have gone one of three ways.
Mm-hmm.
Which way did they go? The last way. There was a silence, and then one of my favorite people in that group said, what the fuck are you talking about?
You don't know
do you
what
have,
you're talking
do you, you know,
about.
Do you have a problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the fuck? And everyone else in the group was kind of like looking at this kid like, Yeah, what is your problem? What are you doing here? And he actually got up and left.
I think somebody told him to leave, too.
Yeah, I think that was that same person that was like, you need to leave.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like it when it goes like that, because if someone says something like that to you in a group setting, mm-hmm. sometimes if you respond in a way is like, what the fuck's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
If it is actually like, you know, a negative comment and you feel like you're going to respond, sometimes people are like, God, you responded really strongly. What's, you know, I didn't mean it. I was just joking, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, oh, it's a big deal that you defended yourself, or that you responded in any way that wasn't like, oh, you're so funny. I am such a bitch. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that it went the other way.
Yeah.
That's a really,
you know,
like,
I think it also speaks to general etiquette, because sometimes you're with a group of people and you all want to be polite, you know, and you don't want to escalate things. I think there's a general level of not wanting to escalate.
You don't want to escalate it, but you also don't, for me, it's like, I don't want that person to think that that's okay.
But at the same time, a lot of the times that I hear it at Hampshire a lot, is because people will say incredibly inflammatory things or like, you know, it's like, but, you know, they'll either preface that with, I feel, in which case it's trying to negate their feelings is ridiculously difficult. It's like your feelings, you know, if you say that you disagree, then it's essentially saying you disagree with their feelings. And that's almost like saying, well, your feelings are stupid, you know. You can't really pass a judgment on feelings, you know.
And yet people do.
But it's really not a feeling that these people are expressing. It's a thought, you know, but they don't have, you know... because we're not an FCC radio, they don't have the fucking balls to actually say, I think, because that's too much of a statement that
I honestly never really think about saying, I think.
Well, I actually think that... Huh.
Now I've started doing it. Now I've started thinking about when saying, I'm going to say, I feel, and I'm like, no, I think that blah, blah.
Yeah, I think that...
It's unconscious, though, I feel
also something that happens... as an unconscious thing, but it also subtly makes it harder for somebody to refute what they're saying, but also it's very passive aggressive in a weird way, because it covers people's asses if they say something that's wrong. They say, well, I kind of feel like
this.
It's
just an opinion.
You know, that's just an opinion,
it's
rather than a thought that has logic, or saying something, you know, like a fact, because it's what you think. I mean, and if you preface everything with that, like, you know, I mean, people already know that's your side of the story. Right. But, a lot of times people will say that. They'll say, I feel this, and then whatever the dot, dot, dot is filled in with is, you know, a really big generalization, or it's, you know, it, you know, generalizes people in a specific way that, you know, it's incredibly annoying. And a lot of people here don't really want to call it out, especially if it's not politically correct.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Or it's politically correct, but it's being used in a way that's just not very nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with...
Not that it's not nice, but it's just... It could have been put better in a way that wasn't, like, as insulting. Or like, hey, you're a racist. It's like, you couldn't have candy-coated that a little bit. Like, you know, I think you have problems with, you know, whatever it is, as opposed to...
A blanket statement.
You're a racist. It's like, what am I supposed to gain from that statement?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen it with talks about race. I've also seen it with...
well, with any kind of embodied experience. Or any
embodied,
with making any kind of, like, general judgment about someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes it's much more in a politically correct direction. It's it's not what I would say, you know, kind of backwater, you know.
No. And something also to say is that it's not all the time that those statements are unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when it's not done in a conscious way towards the other person.
Yeah, I mean, and the general trend in racism, for example, is correct, but at the same time, it's a much more complicated issue.
Yep.
And so I've just had a lot of people just kind of look around and be very like, okay, that person just said this, and we're just not going to say anything because that'll start a whole argument, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just need to speak up and say, wow, that's...
that's really unnecessary.
That doesn't do anything constructive, and it doesn't really say anything that we don't already know, and it doesn't do anything to
I almost
start
feel like
a dialogue.
That's another way of being like, you're stupid.
Well, yeah.
Just like a thought that I just had is that, you know, that's a really good way to negate what someone just said. You know, you're not being constructive. I don't even, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I think that's actually a more constructive way of telling somebody they're stupid. Yeah,
I think
isn't
so
that
too.
Great?
Yeah.
You know, because when you say they're
way
stupid,
of
that's
saying you're full of shit.
Well, stupid is such a subjective
it
word.
It is.
You
it
know?
Really is. Yeah.
And then people just think that you're bitter and are acting out like a child when you say, well, you're stupid, you know?
It's like, maybe you are.
Do you need a nap?
You ever say that to me?
I will get slapped.
You will get slapped.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do need a nap, but I don't need someone to tell me I need a nap, okay?
Especially not in a patronizing way.
Especially not in a patronizing way. Would you like a nap? Would you like to die? But anyway. Winter was the first thing we talked about. It was like awkward parties. Do you want to die?
Yeah.
Okay,
how far?
What else we got on this list? Perseverance. Oh, yeah. Well, did we talk about that? Perseverance stories in attending class?
Oh, no.
About the pregnancy excuse, I guess.
Well,
not
yeah.
an excuse, but like, you know, how do you...
No, we didn't talk about that. Did you want to talk about that right now, or do you want to...
Oh, we can play a song and then talk about it. We can.
Because you set up all these songs you wanted to play, so I don't want to...
All right. I'm going to play another song from Lexicon, from that same album, Youth Is Yours, called Voodoo. I think this is the right song, I'm pretty sure. And I spent a lot of time with my former roommate, Zoe Marshall, listening to this album. So, thank you, Narnar the Unicorn. This is music from you.
Dan payaka manaku anden gosaka
I guess I could blame it on the city we live in. I mean, perfect weather full of beautiful women, or else I could pass all the credit to the lights. Maybe that's the reason that we shine so bright. There's something in the air tonight, man. Like whatever we do is the right plan. If you're with me, won't you raise your right hand and solemnly swear on the kicks and snares.
I carry down the road less traveled, sucker. Writing out my words like Scrabble, fucker. Done that and been up in the battles, but the times have changed like the channel. What the hell's got me vexed? A few problems, need a couple puffs and a vex, and I'll solve them. Leave it up to us, cause we're next out of all them. Turning all your heads like a chest in the bargain. Just waiting to hear some new music from the crew who's sick. It's the L. Damn straight with the mighty 12th letter. One listen a day might just make your health better. Move to the side, step back, don't you understand? We've been doing this since y'all were practicing the running man. Pass the lighter, homie, cause I got the blunt in hand. He's the cheap shot, you talked to my brother, man.
He said we're awesome, we rock. Told me respect and blessings to represent hip-hop. I heard they bang it on the block. She said she loves dancing to it cause the beats are so hot. But wait a minute, as always, they get it. Play it backwards, ain't no hidden messages in it. Just Lexicon, baby, there's no way to forget that. Said what to expect, followers, they get left back. Game must have lost its focus. Do a show without a town act and they go home hopeless. It's the fantastic, magnificent. We've been called it all while you weren't listening. You'll never catch me off guard, you're way too slow. I'm way too good, they tell me way to go. Backlit by the staple center's blue glow. A silent victory speech cause you should already know.
You walk around like you got a bed strapped to your back. Sleeping on our shit like you really need a nap. Nodding off and snoring when nicking no rap. But what about daps when the dew and slaps for the crew? So bring it back to the truth and the heart of it. When we're getting down, you're gonna wanna be a part of it. Drawn to us like a fly to a shit ball. Snatching up all our golden bars like it's pitfall.
Yo. Could I get a cold beverage? I need some leverage. A sweaty ass as a lemonade will be nice. Of a spice from the top to a VK. Got a bag, got a drink, fuck girls. Got the bait on the front board. I got some ice tea. If you like a taste of tea, then come along with me. Summertime is steaming, don't give me no bugs. Glass some ice and a dash up from the S Martini time. Yeah, yeah, feeling golden. For your own beverage, it's nice or it's cold. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. Give me a frosty mofo with A&W. If you've got ice cream to make it a double swim, we'll take from the fat and real good sounding. Chocolate egg cream, yo, on to the cherry grounds. And put a chill bar on to send my vibe. I was to the right, they got beverages inside of me. A hot coffee, then fill it up with ice. What a man, it's like it's rain. Please fix me a large slice. Summertime is cool, the heat is getting cold. Yeah, have a beverage, say so it's cold. Cold, 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 cold.
You sent me from the bar.
Yeah, I like your beverage, yeah. I like your beverage, yeah. Cause I'm feeling kinda buzzed. Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. What? Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. Yeah, when I'm fishing, let's keep one thing clear. The bait's over there, the brew's right here. 2 6-packs in a big bag of ice. And you get to bite, but the brew tastes nice. Back to the bar. So very daiquiris and a colada. Need a whole lot of them fruit drinks to catch me a buzz. I must tell you, I'm the Kool-Aid kid. Before you serve my drink, please stick it in the fridge. Cause I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. Uh-huh, I'm kinda thirsty. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah.
And we are back on Northeastern Exposure. I'm Shotgun Molly.
I'm Klondike Cat.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I just like doing that and then watching it.
Oh, yeah, watching it go up and down.
Ooh, that's pretty high.
Ooh.
Anyways.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, we are just accessing our inner child.
Yeah.
Flipping that switch up and down. Anyways.
On. Whoa.
Ooh. Anyways, I have posable thumbs. Anyways.
Shocking. So, anyway, we were talking about...
perseverance stories.
Yes. And then going to class.
Pertaining to going to class.
Yeah.
Now, Klondike Cat over here just asked me, well, do you have any perseverance stories about going to class? And my immediate thought or response was, I have a lot of...
stories about not going to class.
Stories about not going to class. And, you know, or just the fact that going to class consistently is kind of a perseverance anyways. Anyway, but that's just me. I kind of believe that if you're sick especially, and I got sick quite a bit last semester, that you should not be in class because you're going to infect somebody else.
Right. And you're really not really taking care of yourself, too, so you're kind of... putting yourself under the weather as well.
Yeah, and it's really, really hard to know when you are contagious and when you're not.
Yeah.
So, and if you think about how many surfaces that you touch and, you know, all the interaction that you have, I mean, even if you're just near somebody, things can travel. And that's how a lot of people get sick anyways in school. But what I always really hate is when you have that really go-getter kind of student that is in the class and is absolutely wrecked. They are so sick. They are,
it's,
you know,
gross.
And they're coughing and they're and they're doing all of that in the side of the classroom. And you're just like, especially if they're next to me. If they're next to me,
oh,
I want to fucking.
There was somebody on the bus
them.
This morning. It was. Yeah. It's just like so gross.
You know, I mean, and I was that person who was coughing a lot of things, but I did not go to class. You
yeah,
know, I was like, I am not going to do this.
I'm not going
to somebody else. And I think that a lot of people think like, of going to school, going to class when they're sick is like this sacrifice, and it proves, you know, to the world and, you know, to
their teacher,
to themselves mm-hmm. and their teacher mm-hmm. that they are actually a good student because they are sacrificing, you
right.
know.
Right.
But as somebody who's known a lot of teachers mm-hmm. and talked to them, they're like, if you're sick, get out of my class. You're going to infect me. I get sick all the time because of you fucking students. You come in with
get
your
the
germs,
fuck out. Yeah.
And then I have to give you a test, and you write on your paper, and then you cough on your paper, and I have to
I
grade your
sick.
Paper, and then I get sick. And I have heard so many teachers
and
do
there's,
that.
And the thing to mention about that is that, and then I'm sure we're talking to a bunch of students, so everyone's heard this before, but there's the other side of that, where there's teachers who are like, you know, if you're sick, I, you know, still want, unless you have a doctor's note, you still need to come in. You know, when I was in graduate school and I was pregnant, I came in and, you know, I was there almost every day until I gave birth during finals. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like anything less than pregnancy or death or losing a
this
limb.
This is a true story. I've
it
heard
is a
that.
True story.
Unless you're pregnant.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, this whole thing is like the ceramics class, which is we're not going to talk about very much of, but.
Oh, you want to talk about it.
Oh, I do, but I'm not going to because. Yeah, anyway, so the teacher of that class, she was talking to the kids, and this is at the very beginning of the semester, and she was going around looking at everyone's projects, and she was talking to someone. I couldn't really hear the beginning of it. And then she stands up, and she's like, I want to tell a story, and I want to, you know, explain something to the whole class. You know, and she tells the when I was in graduate school and I was pregnant, blah, blah, blah. You know, she goes on. When you're in school, you form the habit of coming in and doing your work during the work week. And, you know, I think it's great when, you know, you get your work done during the week, and then you can have the weekend yourself. It's just really nice to have the weekend yourself. I mean, I love my weekends. And she goes on for like 5-10 minutes. But she makes a really big deal about kids not coming to class. And then she turns to the girl she was talking to. And she says audibly to the whole class, not in her like normal voice, but in, you know, like a stage whisper. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you. And this girl's like, yeah, I was in here on Saturday and Friday. And teacher's like, awkward.
Backtrack. I like, just made an example of you. And
you know, and it was not true, and I'm an idiot.
People think I'm a bitch.
Which she kind of is.
Yeah. Well,
but the reason that I brought that up in there is that, you know, how do you respond when, you know, the example of perseverance is I was pregnant? Like, what do you do? What's the appropriate response to that when a teacher's, you know, they bring up their perseverance example. You know, I was in grad school and I was pregnant and I came in, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what are you going to, like, demean their experience of being pregnant? I mean, that is a dangerous place to go because they do not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily demean their pregnancy, but I'd probably do what
I
call.
But it seems like anything short of being pregnant is, like, not good enough.
Yeah. I would probably do what I call silent patronization. And it's where, you know, you nod and you're like, okay, whatever. I mean,
you're not
going to
say whatever. Okay, yeah, whatever.
You don't.
Get out of here with your used uterus, Jesus.
you want to say that to somebody.
Oh,
one
I
day.
Do.
Anyways, but used uterus. Man.
Yeah, that's right. Used. Yuck.
Anyways, I was just.
What?
Tangent. Tangent, not okay. Appropriate.
Moving not on. Appropriate.
Anyways, yeah. No, I was just gonna say that you don't want to piss off your teacher. Yeah,
no.
I just and there is that power difference
mm-hmm.
in the fact that
mm-hmm.
they can fuck you over, especially in subjective things
like art.
If they don't like you, they
I'll
might
fuck
not.
You
be,
over.
They might
yeah.
really, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or know. They won't give you like useful critiques.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, well, you just need to come in more. You
yeah,
need to
like,
work on this.
This
more.
Is not, yeah.
Like
so
that doesn't mean anything to
advice
me.
Advice is you nod and,
yeah.
and you look interested. You give them your I'm interested face, which apparently
which
means.
Is not your I'm interested face because.
But you know, the
story.
Funny thing is, I still come off. I probably make that face so much when I'm in class because I usually am interested. I usually am thinking about that.
So all your teachers
but
just think you think that they're full of shit.
I don't think so because I don't get that impression.
I don't think. I think you make that face when you're on more of a one to one.
Yeah.
Maybe. I would doubt you make that for an entire class period.
I don't know. I have no clue because what I my feel face like looks like.
It's pretty...
Well, because pretty, I get... I think like, I make that same face. Obvious.
I don't okay, think so.
The short part of the story is that when I end up thinking about things, I make this face that apparently comes off as, I think you're full of shit.
Not apparently. It does.
Okay.
It's not a theory. It's a thing.
Well, I can't see myself. So anyways.
But I've made the face to you. And
yeah. Anyways.
You've seen it.
But I am assuming I make this face in class a lot. And it so far it's fine because a lot of teachers think, I feel like I have a lot of respect for my teachers, so maybe they just
I don't think you make
she's
that
not
face.
Impressed with me at all. I need to try to impress her. I don't know. Anyways, but what I was going to say is dealing with a preachy teacher is like
teacher.
You listen to them, you acknowledge their pain or their chip, because usually they're saying something out of this need to express this chip on their shoulder. Like, or in her case, she wanted to project that she was a trooper by going to grad school while she was pregnant.
She also said she did the she walked the Grand Canyon with a broken toe.
Yeah.
With all these big men who are just so much taller and they're so much more in shape. And she was like, I had to get up before everyone and I had to go to bed after everyone just so I could be with the group. Blah, 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 blah. And it was like,
I have a work ethic. And it might be that because she's teaching.
She is trying to portray a work ethic. But the thing about that is that the reason it bothers me, she was like, you should come in during the week, is that she hasn't given us the code to the room to come in during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have any time during the week, there's no other time for us to work on it.
Yeah.
So she's not, it's like, you know, you're going to do it my way because that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, and with art, and I can see sometimes with subjective and creative topics, especially.
Well, even if, like, you know, someone wants a paper to be in Word and you don't have access to Word, what are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like there's no margin for, you know, you have a life too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me and my grading or, you know, me
exactly.
my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're people, too. We have things that we do. And we're not just in ceramics.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
I mean, I guess what I was just to really finish up what I was going to say in response is that you accommodate whatever need there is that they have, but it's kind of like dealing with a child. It is kind of patronizing, you know, from my perspective to try to deal with somebody like this. But you're just like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And then later you're like, God, they're full of shit. And
which is like the entire class's response to that.
Telling them, you know, to their faces, it really does challenge their authority in the classroom. And the thing is that they're only one teacher. And if they have a lot of students, they actually do, there is a need for them to kind of have some respect from the class.
Everything happens this way,
You know, and the interesting thing is, because she's a ceramics teacher, maybe there's this sense of dealing with a lot of students who are just taking the class, you know, for funsies or for an easy A, you know what I mean? And I think I've seen a lot of art teachers
disclaimer for people trying to do that. You're fucking yourself over, buddy. It's not easy. You want an A, you have a hard teacher.
Yeah, not good. Anyways, but I've seen a lot of art teachers in particular
have to deal with
that. To deal with that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even I would almost say even more than like a creative writing class, because at least writing people have the understanding that, oh, God, my words have to make sense. Possibly. But, you know, with art, people might think it's so subjective that they can just, you know, not try.
Another big mistake, people.
Another big mistake. Anyways, it is whole. Oh, I thought that said 33. I was like, wow, we are half an hour over. No, we are actually...
15 minutes, 13 minutes?
13 minutes over time, so I feel
I think we should keep going so we have a recording.
Yeah, we...
No one else comes in anywhere.
Nobody else comes in, so...
And if you want to have a show now and you're signed up for one, you can show up and we'll stop.
Yep, you can just kick us out.
Barring that, I'm not leaving this year.
You're
I want
setting
my 40
up camp.
Minutes, damn it.
I want the recorded 40 minutes.
I think it's actually 50, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, then we shall continue. Maybe play some song? Music.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, did you say what you played before?
No, I played Lexicon, Once Again From Youth Is Yours, The song was called Voodoo, and then the song after that, oh, actually, that was the second song. The first song was G-Love and Special Sauce with Cold Beverages, which is Nigel Gunn's, one of his favorite songs.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Sometimes I miss Nigel.
Yep.
He's not listening, but whatever.
Maybe.
I really don't. Whatever. Maybe he's listening. Sometimes I miss you around. But
we've got some Alaskan nostalgia here.
Yeah, we do.
It's getting nostalgia. Towards the end of the year, and you know we're gonna be heading back home. I don't know how we're heading back home. We gotta figure that out.
Yeah, we need to figure that out soon.
And you know, it's just that kind of thing that there's all these people that we know from home that it's home.
We want them.
How many
lives.
Times can I say home, home, home? Or incendiary. Or no, we said, was it inflammatory?
Well, we said incendiary. Inflammatory.
And then I was thinking, man, they could have a drinking game just listening to this. How many times do they say inflammatory? And then you have these things where inflammatory, inflammatory, inflammatory.
Ha! I knew that. You were playing a drinking game. Ha!
I knew that. You're going to spend the rest of the night with your head in the toilet.
Yep. Fooled you. All right, now we're going to play, once again, from G-Love and Special Sauce, My Baby's Got Sauce.
So she's my baby, my baby. And of course I'll do anything for her. Anything she wants to show her, honey. Show her, got a short mouth, a short tongue. Give me summer. Don't take the day, give me none. You got to work and deserve it. Earn it to own it. Then what she got, she never ever gonna leave it alone. Don't take what's cracking or forget. And never been stood up, your. She does the step. My baby got sauce. Your baby ain't sweet like mine.
She got sauce.
Your baby ain't sweet like mine.
She got sauce.
Your baby ain't sweet like mine. Nah, she ain't that sweet. Well, that's a funky lemonade you got growing, baby. Is it special for me? Did you make it today? Cause I always stand by if you like me to. Yeah, I'll do anything that you could ever want for me to do. A kiss for some of this, a smile and it's done. Miss, I'm your mister, my sister's your sister. My mother's your mother, father's your father. It all started when I kissed her. I missed her, dig. It was love at first sight. Yo, do better when it started. I ain't broken hearted, but babe, I need some time, so time alone with the crew. Yeah, to do the stupid things that we used to do. Upon this, she slapped me with the fire pan. Yo, this is love, not gonna leave it. My baby got sauce. Your baby ain't sweet like mine.
She got sauce.
Your baby ain't sweet like mine. Your baby ain't sweet like mine. Nah, she ain't that sweet, see. Baby, what I would do for just one look in my direction. I gave you all I have, but then you still act mad. You don't give me no attention. My baby got sauce, and of course, as a matter of course, she does what she wants to, cause she's the boss. Don't tell my friends about the situation, cause like they think I'm on some extended vacation. Cause I don't get out to see my boys anymore. Only time I leave the house is to go into the store for some more. What she want? What she want me for? What could she want this time? Take out my words, I know she ain't even mine, ain't even mine. Believe me, what she doing night? Yo, I don't know, but baby, I could guess it ain't right. Cause she got me waiting constantly in silent to raise my voice, negotiating it. I'm confident, I'm broke like so windy argument. I shouldn't have even started it. I'm broken hearted, I can't be part of y'all. I need a team, so I count my loss. Dig, my baby got sauce. Your baby ain't sweet like mine.
She got sauce.
Your baby ain't sweet like mine.
My baby got sauce.
Your baby ain't sweet like mine. Nah, nah.
She got sauce, she got sauce, she got sauce. Your baby ain't sweet like mine, ain't so sweet like mine, ain't so sweet like mine, ain't so sweet like mine. She ain't so sweet, hey, she got it.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pick her up, I'm gonna get her drunk, I'm gonna make her cry, I'm gonna get her high, I'm gonna make her laugh, I'm gonna make her shh. Woman, 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 I know she's it, cause I'm gonna touch her all over her body, gonna touch her. And she can touch me all over my body. 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 Time goes by, I can feel myself growing old. Burning inside, making this boy turn out cold. What's wrong? What's right? I don't care when I hate my life. What's wrong? What's right? No, people don't care when they hate their life. But how can I explain personal pain? How can I explain personal pain? How can I explain my voice is in vain? How can I explain the deep Dad, speaking of driving, come on, Dad, give me a car tonight. So much he don't understand, just might never make it to a man. Dad, I ain't no runt. Come on, girl, give me your. Cause I ain't had much to live for. I ain't had much to live for. No, I ain't had much to live for. You know, I ain't had much to
back. This is Northeastern Exposure, and we are over time, but we don't care. We're just going to continue.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. So, anyways, what did you play?
I actually have to look in the history because I don't remember. Well, because it doesn't show me the history. Okay, I played G11 Special Sauce with My Baby's Got Sauce. I played the Pixies. Hey.
You always play that, but it's nostalgic.
It is
nonetheless.
Too nostalgic. And then I played Give Me the Car from Violent Femmes, which Molly hates.
But yes. Yes, he has such an annoying voice. It's like a constant whine.
It's like the Jackson 5.
Yeah, I disagree at least.
Well, I know you do, because you like the Jackson 5.
At least they can carry a tune.
A high-pitched tune.
A high-pitched tune, but still a tune.
Really? You want to listen to that? I don't want to listen to that.
Hey, it's only the one song. I did not, you know, did I?
I only played one song, too.
That's true. That is true. But I still think that he's so out of tune. I want to punch him in the face. Anyways. But touche. Touche. Yeah.
That's what I played.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, so. I don't know what we had as far as conversation topics going. You've got a lot of layers on.
Yeah, I do.
You've got one, two, three, four layers.
This is a bra.
That still kind of counts.
Does it count? Well, it only covers like here.
Well, it's still a layer.
You count your underwear as a layer?
Well, I think it is a layer. I mean, it's clothing. It's not part of your skin.
It just doesn't seem like it's that substantial of a layer. I mean, it's I don't feel like I'm losing more heat when I don't have, like, a bra on.
Actually, I can feel when I don't wear underwear that
I'm assuming you can feel it. Otherwise, you have numb problems.
So
I don't even know if I'm wearing underwear right now.
Oh, so many more problems. Anyways, no. I was going to say, I can feel it gets colder when I don't wear underwear. So, you know, I mean, I would count it as a layer.
Well, I think it depends on what you're wearing?
No, what would you call it if you're not, if you know, okay, what do you call underwear in reference to layer or
it's an
not? It's just an undergarment. But see, that just implies to me to be a layer, you know? I mean, it's, because it's not your skin, right? So you can't
say,
this is part of my body. I was born this way. I'm like, great, with the Superman undies.
That's really like, creepy.
That's kind of.
But it's inequipped as a Ken doll.
Ooh. Anyways, well, that would have been a very painful tattooing process.
What?
If you had, like, underwear tattooed onto you.
Oh, I thought you were talking about being ill-equipped. Like, how would that be painful?
I mean, if somebody makes you ill-equipped afterwards.
Well, yeah. But, yeah. If someone makes you ill-equipped, then that's just mean. But if you were born that way, then...
It's like torture and, you know, anyways.
Meanness.
Extreme
I don't know.
Meanness.
I don't really count it. Like, I wouldn't really count wearing a bandana around my neck. Mm-hmm. Not really. I mean, maybe I would if... It's kind of like one of those toss-up garments for me anyway. And I layer a lot, as people probably know, so...
Yeah, I would count a big skirt.
It's not a substantial layer.
Well, there's some bras that are designed to look kind of like camisole tops underneath.
Yeah.
Like a V-neck or, you know, something.
So those are the ones that you're counting as a layer?
So that's what I count as a layer.
So would you count the bra that you're wearing right now? I can't see the top of it. Would you count that as a layer?
I mean, but see, the thing is
But you can't see your underwear either. Are you going to count that? Whoa!
I know, this is a gray area. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure.
It is a gray area.
What to count it as.
It is. I mean, if I was wearing boxers, then I would count. I guess, I'm not even sure I would count boxers.
Yeah, but if you're wearing shorts underneath something or shorts over tights, would you count the shorts as a layer?
Maybe. I guess.
Yeah, see, that's...
They're just so tiny. It's
you
like
could say like it's a pseudo layer, a mini layer. You could emphasize the difference in size.
Well, I feel like maybe you wouldn't count it because most people, and this is of course a generalization, wear underwear or a bra. I mean, I can see them counting it as a layer if they don't usually wear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems kind of obvious that you would be wearing a bra and underwear.
Hmm.
So it's not like, ooh, I'm wearing a lot of layers, including my bra, which I'm always wearing.
Yeah, it's true.
But then I guess by the same logic, you'd be like, I'm wearing a shirt, but I didn't count it because I'm always wearing a shirt.
Exactly.
Which is just stupid, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, the moral of that story is...
We don't know.
We don't know.
We haven't figured it out.
We gotta think about it some more.
Yeah. One thing that we could talk about it, depending on how interesting this goes, is the Oscars were last night.
Yeah.
And the artist won for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Jean de Gourdon, I don't even know what his last name is, really, won for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also the lead in The Artist, which I still haven't seen. Meryl Streep won for Best Actress, which is the first time she's won in, like, 29 years. This is her third Oscar. Of course, she's been nominated a bazillion times.
Yeah.
This is what actually found really interesting because you can all look up the winners. And
I was going to say, I don't know why you're telling them all this. They can look it up anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, Molly?
The thing is that Meryl Streep has been, she's been nominated so many times for Academy Awards.
She's good.
Because she's really good. And I think in many cases, she was better than the person who won. Her performance was better. But it's kind of like, well, Meryl Streep's in your category. We all know she's good.
And I think maybe one of the things is that she's won.
She's only won. She's won twice. There are like Hilary Swank, who honestly is a great actress, but not in the same consistent caliber in performance as.
I think Hilary Swank is pretty good.
She's really good, but she's also had some really crappy roles in movies.
That's so.
Well, then, but the thing is, I don't think Meryl Streep has had crappy performances in movies. Like when she was in The Devil Wears Prada, which you know is one of the.
She wasn't nominated for that, was she?
Yeah, she was.
That's like a side role. I don't think that. I think that was best supporting actress.
She was supporting. But what I was gonna say is that her performance in that film, which was kind of, I hate to use this term, a chick flick, but it was very, it was not meant to be sort of an art movie,
a serious art movie,
so to speak. And her performance in that movie was amazing.
That was good.
I mean, she's.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's good, but I don't think it warrants.
Oh, I thought
you're amazing. Wow.
Well, I mean,
it's good, but I mean, I don't know. It's like we already know you're a good actress. You already know that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying
it kind of depends on what she's running against you.
Yeah,
she's running against a role that's more interesting, more dynamic. Yeah. Then I can see not having her win.
Yeah, but I think that in many cases, some of the people who won over her nomination were not as good.
Actually,
I think that's definitely.
Academy Awards?
I would just say Meryl Streep and look at what she's been nominated for an Academy Award.
Oops, not a flash.
Just
surprise win, Wikipedia.
Yeah, but basically, I think the question that I was starting to think about is that she's such a great actress, but she, if you ask me how many times she's been nominated, how many times she should have won when she was nominated, she actually hasn't won that many times.
She's received 17 nominations, winning 3, 26 Golden Globe nominations, winning 8, and more nominations than any other actor in the history of either award.
Exactly, and which really makes her work incredibly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, so I don't know exactly what to think about that, because sometimes it seems like it's like, oh, well, she's Meryl Streep, she's not going to win, but we all know that she's, leagues above some of these other performances. But at the same time, it's like, well, she consistently keeps giving amazing performances. Why not? She went to Vassar, and then she went to Yale.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
She got an honorary degree from Harvard, too.
Ooh. I mean, when they give you an honorary degree, what is the degree in? Or do they even,
It says, it'll probably say.
Reading. Wikipedia.
Yep.
It's a lovely, lovely thing.
She's from Princeton. She got an honorary doctorate of fine arts.
Yeah. Because, Harvard needed to tell her...
Couldn't you say the same thing with the awards being nominated?
Yeah, I guess so. But as far as deserving to win, I think she deserved to win more than the 3 out of 17 times that she was nominated for an Oscar.
I'm trying to look up the times rotations. It doesn't say who else was nominated, though.
Yeah.
It just says what she was nominated for. So it's like...
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, Nigel listening? What display picture? Oh, no, it's he's talking to you. He's talking to you because you're the one that's on Facebook.
I have no clue what's going on here.
I'm sorry, it's one of our friends who I dedicated that song to is talking to Molly on Facebook, but... I'm the one by the computer, so.
Is it display? Which display picture?
When your kid won.
Oh.
Because you're the one on Facebook, see?
Oh, right, right. The one with the, why are you looking at me? Why are you taking my picture? Okay.
Why?
Why? You're confusing me with your strange behavior.
Maybe it'll say when I click it, like with the year.
Yeah.
No.
Well, actually, you can look that up.
Nominees.
That way.
What is that? The 2000s. Let's look at the 2000s. See, he was nominated. So. Da 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 da.
Okay, Meryl Streep was nominated in 2006. Helen Mirren won for The Queen, which obviously, okay, I agree.
Okay, yeah.
In that particular sense. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, that was lead actress. That was not, she shouldn't have been nominated in the lead actress, because in The Devil, she was nominated for playing Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada, but she was not the main protagonist.
I don't think she was either. That's
kind of weird. So she should have been nominated for supporting actress. Yeah. Not, you know, in that case. I'm just saying that, you know.
She was nominated again
for Doubt.
But the person that won was Kate Winslet in The Reader.
Okay. Kind of a toss-up, but I don't.
The next time.
Okay, Julie and Julia and Sandra Bullock won it for The Blind Side. She was not that great in The Blind Side. I'm just saying.
I'm going to say that the other nominations were pretty good.
Yeah.
For Precious, for An Education, for The Last Station. I mean, come on. Those are pretty heavy-hitting movies.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the fact that Sandra Bullock won last time, I mean, she...
But look at the other eight. Besides, well, let's just kind of ignore that part.
Okay.
Look who else was nominated, though.
Well, I would say I saw An Education. It was good, but it was... Carey Mulligan's performance, while amazing, was not as amazing as Meryl Streep
doing Julia.
Yeah, Julia Child, I mean, the...
Yeah, I know who Julia Child is.
I know, but she, like, how well she did that performance, I mean... From the perspective of trying to embody somebody who is so unique as a character and doing it so well, you know, it kind of trumps An Education.
Okay, where was she nominated again? She was nominated.
I mean, maybe they're not putting the best supporting actress, because she was definitely nominated.
Okay, I haven't seen these. Okay, well, she was nominated for Music of the Heart. Hilary Swank won for Boys Don't Cry.
Okay, that's...
Boys Don't Cry was pretty
that
good.
That was... Okay.
Okay, and then when she was nominated in 1998 for One True Thing. Gwyneth Paltrow won for Shakespeare in Love.
Okay, honestly,
and then Cate Blanchett was for Elizabeth.
Okay,
if anything,
Cate Blanchett should have won that one. Honestly,
yeah.
Shakespeare in Love was not...
I thought it was good, though.
It was good, but, I mean, Cate Blanchett did a much better performance than Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as a performance goes...
All right, so she was also nominated. I haven't even heard a lot of these movies. 1995 for The Bridges of Madison County. Who won was, I haven't seen Dead Man Walking. I heard it was really good, though. The other people that were nominated were Emma Thompson and Sense and Sensibility. She was really good in that.
She was really good, but she probably wasn't good as... Oh, no, I actually saw The Bridges of Madison County. Shit, you know.
What?
I would say Meryl Streep was better than Emma Thompson's portrayal in Sense and Sensibility.
She also wrote on that, too.
I mean, she won an Oscar. Emma Thompson, by the way, did win an Oscar
for writing for Sense
and Sensibility.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. I'm just saying that it just seems, for how much that Meryl Streep has been nominated, there have definitely been roles where she deserved it.
Oh, my God. Julia Roberts was nominated for Pretty Woman?
Yes.
Fucking kidding me?
Yes.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, you know. Anyways, but, another...
I haven't seen a lot of these movies. Aw, Cher won for Moonstruck.
Yeah, she did.
I didn't know that.
Which also had Nicolas Cage.
God.
Anyways, which was really funny.
We should get Budget Nudist to come in here and do his impression.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be great. Or we could just record it on your phone or something.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see if he's up to that or not.
And she won for Sophie's Choice.
Yes, which she really should have, so yay. I'm just saying that...
Coal Miner's Daughter.
There's that kind of concept of, do you award an actor based on, you know...
So just from your responses, I think many of those times, she didn't necessarily. It wasn't like, oh my God, Meryl Streep should have just won.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the times, 17 times she was nominated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And three of those she won. Okay, so we're back to 14.
Mm-hmm.
I would say half of those times, I don't think she deserved to win.
Yeah.
But then other times, it was kind of a toss-up of which movie you liked more.
Yeah. But, you know, for example, last year's Sandra Bullock
and
won.
And the trends of the movies that are going in there.
Well, last year Sandra Bullock won, and she won for The Blind Side, and she's actually done roles like 28 Days, which were far better than I think what she did in The Blind Side.
What was 28 Days about?
It was about her going to, about her character went to rehab and kind of going through that 28 Days. Had Viggo Mortensen in it, too. Anyways.
Was he a drug dealer?
No, he was in the clinic. He was a baseball player. Anyways.
Was he a drug addict?
Yeah,
I was. Anyway.
Anyways, I was in rehab. Anyways, most of the people there were. But I was going to say is that it was a great performance, better than what she did in The Blind Side. A lot of people were really stunned that she won for that movie, and they were thinking that she was awarded the Oscar more because of her past, you know, portfolio as an actress mm-hmm. rather than this specific performance. Mm-hmm. And that it kind of goes back and forth with Oscar.
Yeah, I think that's something else to say about the Oscars is that they do that. And mm-hmm. so maybe some of the times that Meryl Streep didn't win is because
they wanted to acknowledge another actor.
Someone else is just coming up. And so
and it's also contributed to the
film. Or they're really good.
Yeah.
And this is like their first really good film.
And the fact, I guess another thing is when she won and they had announced this is the first win that she's had in 29 years.
That's really how they announced it.
I don't know. I mean, I was reading that that was the first win that she'd had in 29 years mm-hmm. of an Oscar. And the fact that they didn't acknowledge her in 29 years, this body of work that she has, mm-hmm. just seemed like a long time to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Oscars, you know, what do they do, what they don't do? I mean,
it's kind of a toss-up, yeah.
You know, and what they do for someone's career. I mean, I don't know if it makes her more or less, you know, acknowledged in her field. I think everybody knows that she's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the Oscars. I didn't actually watch. I guess you could have streamed it online at some place.
I always feel like they're really boring.
But yeah, a lot of it's a lot of waiting around, and there's some weird pomp and circumstance, and it's just like, you know, it's almost like being at graduation.
You just like me.
At a graduation, you know, and some of it's great, but half the time you just want to see someone get a diploma and go, you know. So there's all this dragging it out. So
how long have the
I don't know.
Okay, so here's the rest of the winners for last night.
Well, we've got the artist, which we already mm-hmm. met. Mm-hmm. The director was Michael
Oh god.
I don't even know how to pronounce that last name for the artist.
Hazanavicius? Maybe. I don't know. This is the Critics' Choice Awards.
Oh, this is Critics' Choice.
So, the Golden Globes, the Descendants,
We're on Academy Awards.
Oh, they're on the end. Okay.
So,
pretty much the same thing for Best Film.
And Best.
Pretty much all across the board, besides the SAG Awards.
Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Plummer got Best Supporting Actor for Beginners. That was actually really good. He did a really good job.
That was so cute. I love Christopher Plummer. He's gotten really good, I mean, looks-wise,
he's aged. Well.
He's aged so well. He's so adorable. Yeah, he's just one of those adorable,
like,
adorable older men.
Like, oh, you turned out good.
You think Tom Petty aged well?
Yeah. I still think he's cute. He's an old man. I don't care.
I don't think I've seen... I don't think
Sam, 30 is not old.
well, it isn't. But
yeah,
I mean,
know it's not old.
But, I mean, I haven't seen Tom Petty, his older pictures, so I don't know. Anyways.
He just looks like an old man.
I would imagine.
Not like, he still looks like
Does he look
Tom
like
Petty,
a
though.
cute old man?
Cute.
Oh, adorable old man?
Adorable.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
Who else? Best screenplay was Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris.
Woo.
Midnight in Paris was good.
Yeah. Dali. I am Dali.
Can we play that somehow on air?
We will have to play that. Oh, shoot, though. We are super over time. We've met
We're
our time
only four
quota.
4 minutes over.
But we've just been bogarting. We've been bogarting. We've been bogarting the airwaves. It feels good, but at the same time, I feel a little guilty.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, you got it?
We're gonna play this and then we'll do our farewell. It's loading. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep talking. Oh, look, there's Avery and Brody.
And we gotta wait for an ad. That is so annoying.
3 seconds. Blah, 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 blah. Children, animation, and end machine. Skip ad now.
Okay. Are you ready?
All right, yeah.
What are you laughing about?
Turn on.
Okay.
The cane, you can see the cane. Okay.
Okay.
This is why you should watch Midnight in Paris.
Monsieur, c'est dommage. C'est dommage. We met earlier tonight at the party. Dali, see?
Yes.
Dali.
I remember.
Dali. Yeah. Un bouteille de vin rouge.
Thank you. Yeah.
So. Un autre verre pour monsieur, s'il vous plaît. Love, the language, the French, the waiters, no. You like the shape of the rhinoceros?
The rhinoceros? I haven't really thought about it.
I paint the rhinoceros. I paint you. See, your sad eyes and big lips melting over the hot sand with one tear. Yes, and in your tear, another face, the Christ face. Yes, in the rhinoceros.
Yeah, I mean, I probably do look sad. I'm in a very perplexing situation.
In there. Luis, oye, Luis, my friends. Senor Buñuel.
Buñuel?
Si, Buñuel, Mr. Manri.
Manri? My gosh.
Hello. This is Pender. Pender.
Yeah. This is...
Pender!
Yes.
And I am Dali.
Dali, yes.
Si, you have to remember. Pender is in a perplexing situation.
It sounds so crazy to say. You guys are going to think I'm drunk, but... I have to tell someone. I'm from a different time, another era, the future. Okay, I come from the 2000th millennium to here. I get in a car and I slide through time.
Exactly correct. You inhabit two worlds. So far, I see nothing strange.
Well, yeah, you're surrealist, but I'm a normal guy. See, in one life, I'm engaged to marry a woman I love. At least I think I love her. Christ, I better love her. I'm marrying her.
The rhinoceros makes love by mounting the female. But is there difference in the beauty between two rhinoceroses?
There is another woman?
Adriana, yes. And, very drawn to her. I find her, you know, extremely alluring. The problem is that other men, you know, great artists, geniuses, are also find her alluring, and she finds, you know, them. So there's that.
But... A man in love with a woman from a different era. I see a photograph.
I see a film.
I see an insurmountable problem.
I see.
So that's just a little taste of that.
That is Dali.
That's good.
That
that's
is good. Dali.
And then what? Dali. And then, you know, you could. Whoa, the speakers are on. You could, before you watch that, you watch his acceptance speech. Or at the least Academy, the beginning of the Academy Awards when he won for the pianist.
It's the 75th Academy Award. Mm-hmm. And so obviously he goes up. First of all, he's incredibly stunned.
Oh my god.
Who else was nominated?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage was nominated for...
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Nicolas Cage was nominated for adaptation. Daniel Day-Lewis was...
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, Gangs of New York. Jack Nicholson for About Schmidt. And... Ooh, I don't remember
someone
who else.
And it was an older person. One of those older guys who was like, oh, that's nice. He's just happy.
Oh, Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Who was nominated for something. I don't even remember what the hell he was nominated for.
But it's been in the beginning. Like, what you're going to say is looking at the reactions. They have like the split screen of everyone and like the different reactions.
Adrian Brody is just, oh my God, that's my name. he's just like, he it's a.
And he talks about that later.
It kind of, it's almost like the Pillsbury Doughboy look. Yeah, it was. He looks kind of like the Pillsbury Doughboy because it's like, oh my God, without maybe the high pitched noise. Although you can hear him make a really funny. I don't know if he's crying or laughing when he's leaving, like to get up to accept the award. It's like a giggle or something. It's hilarious.
I would love to hear him giggle about something.
Yeah, and so. Michael Caine is just so
just happy.
Michael Caine is just so like cheering him on. He's like, "Oh my God, Adrian Brody!
Yay,
he's really he really wanted to be
genuinely happy about it."
Jack Nicholson looks stunned, like,
"Oh, he's got his mouth open." Oh,
there,
speech.
But he's got his mouth open like for the entire like speech.
It's a face he makes consistently.
Nicholas Cage looks pissed, incredibly pissed.
Well, he looks pissed, and
I mean, he remembers himself.
Yeah, and then, I'm in public.
Daniel Day-Lewis didn't really pan to him enough, so you can't really see if he's really disappointed or not. I think he kind of is. But anyways, Adrian Brody was actually the youngest male actor to win Best Actor.
And he was 29.
So, hi, Nigel, if you're listening.
Yeah, I don't think he is. But anyway, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so it's just really funny. And then Adrian Brody, obviously, he goes up there, and Halle Berry presents him with the Best Actor Award.
He just makes out with her.
He doesn't make out with her. He kisses her.
It's an intense
kiss. She's incredibly surprised. Anyways, because I was wondering if that was, like, a staged thing, you know.
Doesn't matter to me.
It was not staged. Anyways, especially because they didn't quite connect right away. She's like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah.
Anyways, and then he
says, "Bet you didn't know that was in the gift basket."
Yes, that's what he says. So, and he's very unprepared about what he's going to say, and he says a lot of different things. And then they start to try and cue the music, and he's
like, "Oh, I want to still say something. Cut it out.
Cut it out. I'm only up here once. This is my only shot. You know, I only got one shot at this."
And I haven't said five names.
And they actually stop the music.
Yeah, they do.
And he continues, and he makes a statement about.
He starts crying.
You know, he starts crying about his mother, which who he took to the Oscars with him.
They keep filming her too.
And she's tearing
she's so
up,
happy.
Which is so adorable. I mean. It's just, aw, yes, I'm being a goob.
So cute.
Not even a button-down goob, a goob.
Just a straight-up goob.
And, he also makes a statement about war and the repercussions of that and how this film made him much more aware, and that he just prays that we resolve the conflicts, because this was back in 2003 when we were just going into Iraq. And, he
doesn't really
prays
say
for,
what...
For a safe resolution, you know, because he's more thinking about getting us out of there, getting troops, you know, to come home, you know, and saving people. And I think that makes sense because The Pianist wasn't necessarily about the war per se, but about what happened to the people who were going through everything.
Right.
So, and then on one of the comments, I just remember this guy going on about, I assume it was a guy, going on about Adrian Brody's nose and how real men have noses like that.
Yeah.
It's called a Roman nose, and in Rome, you know, back in Rome in those days, if you had a nose like that, you were considered very attractive and wise and all this other stuff, and you know, which was really cute. But at the same time, I was also thinking, well, you know,
how much you want to bet this guy has a nose like that?
The ancient Maya used to think cross eyes was attractive. I don't think I'm gonna go for that, anyways.
Yeah. But Adrian Brody,
Oh, Adrian Brody is such a different case. But that was our Oscars talk. Another one I would look up YouTubing, since you guys have computers.
We can put this on the page too.
Would looking up Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Oh God!
Win
yeah.
For writing for Good Will Hunting.
That was pretty good.
That was absolutely hilarious. I have never seen Ben Affleck look more stunned or Matt Damon look
like
more like a goon during that entire speech.
Yeah.
But it was lovely. And so if you're a little bit in the Oscar, get the Oscar bug thing going on, then I would look that up. It'll be on our Facebook page, which we haven't really announced, but we did make
a Facebook
page for Northeastern Exposure.
You liked your own page.
Yes, I liked my own page. I like my own page. I wouldn't make it if I didn't like it. Anyways,
we're in the process of doing that.
We will update those, and you should check out our Facebook page and maybe give us something to talk about, because sometimes we have a hard time talking. Not a lot.
Today is not one of those days.
Today is not.
But it was
kind of
weird
days.
Coming in without topics.
Yeah. We had to fish a little bit. Now, we have been talking to you for hours. It has been a two-hour show. So for those of you who have stuck in for the long haul, which I'm impressed. I'm impressed. So impressed. Thank you. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have recently tuned in, thank you too. This is like an Oscar speech. Thank you. I'm gonna thank all of you.
I love you.
Anybody,
blah.
Yeah. Anybody who ever makes and creates things, I thank you. Blah blah. Blah
anyone
blah,
who follows
blah, blah.
Their dreams.
And I'd like to thank my mother, for all her support. Anyways, yeah. Yep.
For birthing me and.
Well, not I'm adopted.
Well, you could thank your real mom.
Or other mom.
Or your other mom, yeah. Your biological
Maybe.
Mom.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me out of your vagina.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, people. What was the thing I was going to put on here?
I have no clue. But we got to wrap it up.
Yep,
so
we do. Well, it's been fun.
Been Northeastern Exposure.
We'll be here next Monday from 3 to 4.
Yes, 3 to 4. And this is...
Yes,
I'm not Klondike Cat. I'm Cheyenne Holly. I keep wanting to
I'm
say
Klondike Cat.
I keep wanting
you
to
could
say
be Klondike Cat if you really want to be, but that wouldn't really make any sense. So
I could try to do an impression of you and be Klondike Cat, but I think that would come off really badly. And you know where I sleep, so it's all
try
so
it. Try doing an
Just
impression.
Try it. I'll try that next time. Okay, we'll do impressions of each other.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
we love
it's
you.
Been fun, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Woo!
We got to queue up the next show. Whatever. Just click something.
Okay.
Bye.
Smoke this.